morning, everyone. My voice is a little groggy this morning. So with time change today, I thought I'd talk about time. Kind of not a whole lot of imagination there, but the way the study went was quite a bit different from what I had in mind to start out with. Initially, you know, what is time? The passing of seconds, the passing of the seasons. We've all had these thoughts and went through it. You know, we can't imagine not having time. Everything we do revolves around time and the passage of something elapsing. We have yesterday, we have today, we have tomorrow, we have the present. We can remember yesterday, we can't remember tomorrow. You know, we've all thought through that. I believe time started at the beginning of creation. Genesis 1 said, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. I think that was the beginning of time. God exists within time as we know it. He's here. He came down as a human. And he was 32 years old, I believe, when he was crucified. So he lived within time, but outside of that, I think God is. He is today. He is tomorrow, and he is yesterday. He exists. We can't fathom that. He knows tomorrow, and he knows yesterday, as we know, and he knows right now. Everything's the same. I don't believe that he foresees tomorrow. I think he is tomorrow. He doesn't remember yesterday, or he doesn't remember creation. He is creation. But back to time, you know, us existing in time. Last night, as I was thinking about this, I was laying on the living room floor and just laying there thinking, and I started looking at our bookshelf and noticing titles in the bookshelf. One Day in the Life of Ivan Denisovich, the book Night, The Men That God Forgot, Winter of Our Discontent, you know, all has to do with things that we're familiar with, a passage that is something that we exist in. You know, we can identify with night. It's a passage of time. The sun goes down, the sun comes up. It's night. Winter. We just came through winter. We can identify with that. Then as I was reading through these titles and stuff, I noticed that the bottom of the bookshelf, there's encyclopedias, old school books. There's reference books to gardening, to art, to music, knowledge, a lot of knowledge. And in the middle, there's literature books, books by people that we consider great writers, theologians. There's Chaucer, Shakespeare, Eliot, Frost, Longfellow. And, you know, it's people that we get our identity from, men and women that shape today's society. That shapes, helped shape America through their writings. And then at the top there was the novels. And, you know, we need intellectual stimulation, whether it's from a novel, from a movie, from a conversation, a walk in the woods. We all look for our beliefs. You know, we anything that challenges our beliefs, anything that maybe even confronts our beliefs, our perception of reality, can have a good thing. But Solomon said it's all vanity. It's all for nothing. It doesn't do any good. It's hopeless. It's even ironic. The more you have, the more you need. The more wisdom you get, the more foolish you are. And I'll be reading from Ecclesiastes, starting in Chapter 2, verse 24. But I was thinking about reading the the first three chapters of Ecclesiastes, but that gets pretty long, so for the sake of time, a little irony there, I won't. But to paraphrase a little bit, Ecclesiastes starts out, and it's like a man trudging down the road. I mean, he just methodically plods through everything that's wrong in this world, and he names them off one by one. He starts out with at the beginning of the book. He starts out that everything is meaningless. The sun goes down, the sun comes up. Rivers run to the ocean; they return to where they come from. It's all for nothing. But he does throw in the phrase "anything that under the sun," and I believe that means anything without God. Anything without God is for nothing. It's hopeless. It doesn't matter how many books we read, how many miles we walk, how much wisdom we have. Solomon recognized that, how much wisdom he has. If it's not for the glorification of God, it's vanity. It's hopelessness. So Ecclesiastes 2, verse 24, is where I'll start reading there. And then I'll read down through about the middle of chapter 3. There is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God. For who can eat, or who can hasten hereunto more than I? For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner he giveth travail, to gather and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit. To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given unto the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their hearts, so that no man can find out the works that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in this life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, and nothing shall be taken from it. And God doeth it, that man should fear before him. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. And God requireth that which is past. So, where does this leave us, discerning the times? I had to think of a little story. Some of you that are friends with me on Facebook have probably seen a picture I have of a pair of little red shoes, toe to toe. They're sitting on a brick door mantle. But the story behind that, last summer we were down in Sandpoint with Nathan's, and we were walking the streets of Sandpoint, and in one of the back alleys there's a alley that's full of graffiti and hopscotch painted on the street. And I was kind of lagging behind, and I came up there, and here were this pair of little red shoes parked toe to toe on this door, and they were Jemima's favorite shoes. They were her Sunday shoes, her dancing shoes. They were the shoes she wore when she rode bikes so she could stop. She wore those shoes everywhere. The toes were all worn down to about nothing. And they were sitting there, and I asked her why, and she said she wanted to play hopscotch in the street barefoot. And I had to think that, you know, there comes a time we have to discern when it's time to put something away, something that's dear to us. We have to be able to put it away, put it aside, so we can play hopscotch in the street barefoot. There is a time for that. As far as redeeming the times, how do we redeem the times? How do we know what to do with our time? We talk about wasting time, and but the only two places I could find in Scripture that talk about redeeming the time or making good our time was in Ephesians 5, 15 through 21, and Colossians 4, 5, and 6. And I'll read through those quick. Ephesians 5, 15 through 21. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God. And Colossians 4, 5, and 6 is basically the same thing. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. So the only way that we can truly redeem time is helping others. We can't, you know, finding time for ourselves, finding more time, finding time to be more efficient, finding, they all have their place, but serving others is how we redeem the Lord's time. So, in conclusion, I skipped ahead to the last chapter of Ecclesiastes to find out, you know, what is everything dreary? Is everything hopeless? And I'm going to be reading the last few verses in Ecclesiastes, where he does give a little bit of hope. But Ecclesiastes isn't a despondent book. There's a lot of hope there. Without God, there's nothing to hope for. But I found it very encouraging reading through it, because there is a lot of hope if we're above the sun, if we're with God. Anything under the sun is hopeless. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 9 to the end. Not only was the teacher wise, but he also imparted knowledge to the people. He pondered and searched out and set in order many proverbs. The teacher searched to find just the right words, and what he wrote was upright and true. The words of the wise are like goads that collect sayings. They're collected sayings like firmly embedded nails, given by one shepherd. Be warned, my son, of anything in addition to them. Of making many books, there is no end, and much study wearies the body. Now all have heard, here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for the beautiful sunshine that you gave us today. Thank you for a day of rest. Thank you that we can come together and worship you and ask your blessing on the rest of the service. Help us to learn something here and always be mindful and aware of what you have for us and where you're leading us. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.